Well, a very good morning to you. Welcome to A Good Word for Today from God's Holy Word. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel, and in just a couple of minutes, we're going to be going into God's Word for today to find His good word for us today. You know, we've experienced the Passion of the Christ, the play coming out, or the movie coming out by Mel Gibson. Been a lot of publicity about that, a lot of talk about that movie. A lot of folks have rushed to see the movie. I have not personally seen it yet. I've seen a lot of information about it and a lot of footage from the movie. And apparently it is certainly worth seeing as a child of God. Certainly worth encouraging others to go and see. And apparently this is an instrument that God may be very well using to draw a lot of people across the world to Him through the work of the Holy Spirit through this film. So we need to be much in prayer during this time. I believe there's a real opportunity for the church, a real opportunity for us who are the children of God, to be there with the gospel, to be there with the gospel message. We need to be on target. We need to be on message, so to speak, as we present the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to be looking today at the early church and looking at the message of the early church. So stay with us. We're going to be back right after this brief time of prayer with God's good word for us today. I invite you to join me in a brief time of prayer as we prepare our hearts and our minds to receive God's word. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you for your message. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, work in us today, all of us, that we may hear God's word for us today. Not only hear it, but apply it in our lives and share it with others. For your glory, Father, and for our good, we pray in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Well, again today, let's look at God's word. We're turning to Acts chapter 3 and 4 will be the area where we'll be dealing with today. And of course, we're continuing with messages concerning the challenges facing the church today. And one of the challenges, of course, facing the church today is portraying and presenting and proclaiming the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Staying on message, so to speak. That might be the modern terminology. Stay on message. And the message of the church is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember that we are given the words through the Apostle Paul and through John the Apostle, words that will enable us to spot false teachers. And the basic thing about false teachers is the way they present the gospel. They will twist the gospel or leave something out of the gospel or present the gospel in some different form. And as the Apostle Paul stated, if anyone comes preaching a different gospel than I have preached to you, reject that message and reject that person. We need to reject the message and we need to reject the person who brings the message if the message and the messenger are false, if the message is not the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to stay on message. We don't need to be watering it down. We need to understand that the gospel message is an offense to those who are perishing. The Bible states that. So we don't need to be surprised that the gospel message offends somebody. Now, if we're going to try not to offend somebody, then we cannot preach the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the word itself, Jesus himself said that it will be an offense to those who are perishing. It will be an offense to those who don't want to hear it, to those whose heart is not prepared by the Holy Spirit to hear it. So we need to just get over our problem of offending people and realize that when we preach and proclaim and share and witness the true message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are going to offend people. Now, we don't offend people for the purpose of offending them, but we offend them if we proclaim the truth, and if that offends them, then so be it, my friend. So be it. Let's be true to the word. Let's be true to the gospel message. Nowhere at any time in our history do we need to be more on target with our message than today. There is so much taking place in the world that is an attempt to water down the message of the gospel. We are told that we're to be tolerant of everyone. We're to be tolerant of sin. We're to be tolerant of other religions. We're to be tolerant of other methods and other beliefs. Well, my friend, that's not according to the Word of God. We do not tolerate a lie. We do not tolerate a false message. We do not tolerate sin. We stand up and proclaim it for what it is, sin. And we need to stand up and be on message, be on target, and proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to rightly divide the Word of God, proclaiming its truth unashamedly and unapologetically. We need to apologize to no one for proclaiming the truth of the gospel. We need to recognize that this gospel will offend those who are sinners, those who are perishing. And we don't need to be surprised or alarmed when it offends somebody. We need to recognize that it is an offense to those who are in sin, to those who are perishing. Now, I stress that point today because as I see our Christian community, we are knuckling under all too often with the pressure of the world for us to conform, for us to be tolerant, for us to consider any belief as equal to any other belief. One belief is not equal to another, dear friend. The Bible message is the only message that will save. The gospel message of the Lord Jesus Christ points to Him. Jesus, the Savior of the world. He's the Savior of the world, my friend. He's not a Savior of the few. He Himself states that no man will come to the Father unless they come to the Father through me. I am the door. I am the way. No man comes to the Father but by me. My friend, that's either true or it's not true. The Word says it. We need to accept it. We need to believe it. We need to proclaim it. So we need to know the message, and we need to be on message, and we need to be proclaiming the message. We need to be witnessing of the message day by day, moment by moment, in this hour in which we live. We do not need to be dissuaded in any way, discouraged in any way, by the voices of the world that say that we should be tolerant of sin, that we should be tolerant of other religions. No, my friend. We proclaim the gospel message. Now, my friend, let me use an example to you. People are perishing moment by moment, day by day. As I'm speaking these words, there are hundreds of people going into eternity all over this earth. I don't know the number, but it would be, I'm sure, a significant number every minute that are going out into eternity, most of which do not know Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "The way is narrow that leads to eternal life, and few there be that find it." Many go in the broad way that leads to destruction, he said. Listen, my friend, those who are believing in some other religion other than belief in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior acceptance of the gospel message, acceptance of Jesus, and a personal relationship with Him, those people are perishing. I don't care what they believe. I don't care how good they are. I don't care what they do with their life. They are going to hell if they do not believe the gospel message of Jesus Christ, if they do not accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We are standing by in the church and watching sometimes our friends, our neighbors, and members of our family on their march toward hell and doing nothing about it. We do not know when the last breath will be taken by any one of us. I do not know when my last breath will be. I do not know when the last breath of a member of my family may be. My friend, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to proclaim the good news of the gospel. Today is the day to pick up the phone and witness to a family member, to a neighbor, to a friend of the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Only this week, in a conversation with a colleague of mine for many years, I haven't known this person very closely. I haven't known this person intimately. I haven't worked closely with them. But the person, knowing that I was a pastor, asked me about the new movie, The Passion of the Christ by Mel Gibson, what I thought of it. Well, in the conversation, I found out that this person was asking me a question about the Old Testament. And she said, how is the Old Testament different from the New Testament? Is it the same as the New Testament? Now, the questions that were asked indicated to me that this person had very little knowledge of the Bible, very little knowledge of what it really said. She said, well, I'm a Catholic, but I'm not a practicing Catholic. I'm married into a Catholic family, and she was in Catholic by name. But an awfully lot of us are church members by name, dear friend. That isn't just true of Catholics. It's true of many other denominations as well. We are members of that denomination by name and not practice. We are bearing the name of Christian without being Christian. You know, we must have that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ in order to truly be a child of God. I'm making the point, my friend, that an awfully lot of folks out there, according to the word of Jesus, few will find that narrow way that leads to salvation. Many go in the broad way of destruction. And there in Matthew chapter 7, just after he makes those statements, he also makes this point. He said, in that day of judgment, many will stand before me and will say to me, have we not done great works in thy name? Have we not cast out demons in thy name? Have we not been engaged in great, wonderful ministries in thy name? Why, we built churches, we've built programs, etc., etc. Jesus said, I will say to them, depart from me, you who work iniquity. I never knew you. In other words, Jesus himself points out that many will think that they are children of God. They think that they are children of God by virtue of what they have done, by virtue of their works, by virtue of their ministries, ministries that were their own and not God's ministry. Oh, many will be deceived, my friend. Jesus said that. And then there are those who simply go on their merry way just not believing at all and thinking everything's going to work out in the end. It isn't, dear friend. You see, a person must consciously and deliberately choose Christ. A person must confess their sin to Christ. The person must receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The person must have an ongoing day-by-day relationship with Jesus Christ, where Jesus Christ is recognized and honored as Savior and Lord of that life in order to be a child of God. Oh, my friend, if a person draws their last breath without receiving Jesus Christ, they're going to hell by choice. They have not accepted Jesus. They have not received the one who can give eternal life, Jesus Christ. Let me give you an example here that may drive the point home. Let's say that you're driving down the highway and you see a house that's burning. And you see someone at an upstairs window hanging out the window saying, "Please help me, please save me." And you stop and you look up at that person and you say, "Oh, well, I'll come back tomorrow." That's ridiculous, isn't it? Right now is the moment of salvation. Right now is the opportunity to save that life from that burning building. And yet we do the same kind of thing in our eternal life. We think, "Oh, not today, I'll wait till tomorrow." That person may be in a burning building right now, dear friend, eternally speaking. They may not have tomorrow. Right now, the Holy Spirit is working in your heart to pick up the phone and call someone and say, "Look, I'm concerned about you. I want you to know I'm concerned about your eternal life, where you're going to spend eternity. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You must know Him. You must receive Him in order to have eternal life. Are you a child of God? Have you confessed your sin? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Do you have the Holy Spirit within your life, within you, witnessing to you that you're a child of God," according to Romans chapter 8? You see, those need to be our concerns. Today is the day of salvation. Today we need to be on message. Today we need to be on target, proclaiming the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, with all of that said, let's look at Acts chapter 3 and 4 for a moment and see how this relates to what I've been saying here today, that we need to be on message, that we need to be on target, that we need to be seriously proclaiming the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let's review just a moment. We covered some of this material in our last session together. We're in Acts chapter 3, and the first part of Acts chapter 3, the first 11 verses, deal with Peter and John going up to the house of prayer, to the temple, and as they are going, they're passing by this beggar sitting at the gate, the entrance to the temple, and he's begging, and he's asking Peter and John for alms, for money. He's begging. And they say to him, Peter says to him in verse 6, "I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk." And he seizes him by the right hand, lifts him up, and he's walking and leaping and praising God. Verse 8. Now all the people saw him walking and praising God, verse 9, and they were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened. And while he was clinging to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them at the so-called portico of Solomon, full of amazement. In other words, they're saying to them, "What happened? How did you do this? This man has sat at this gate for years begging. He's been a cripple, and here he is leaping and walking and praising God. How did you accomplish this?" Well, of course, Peter and John, Peter in particular, uses this occasion to proclaim to the crowd that are filled with amazement, what is going on? He proclaims to them Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, who has just recently been crucified, but also resurrected from the dead. And look at verse 16, for example. "And on the basis of his name, the basis of faith in his name, it is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man whom you see and know. and the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect health in the presence of all. Now they are proclaiming that this was done by the power of Jesus Christ. They didn't do it themselves. And he says it was done by faith in Jesus Christ. By faith in Jesus, this miracle happened. Now, they point out down in verse 19, "Repent, therefore, and return, that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus, the Christ, appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until the period of restoration of all things, about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from the ancient times." In other words, Jesus has gone back to heaven. Heaven has received Jesus there until the restoration of all things, until Jesus comes again to establish a new heaven and a new earth. So Peter is proclaiming Jesus. Now, we find down in verse 4 of chapter 4, "But many of those who had heard the message believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000 people." Now, we read back in Acts chapter 2 how 3,000 souls were added to the church, chapter 2, verse 41, and then here another 5,000. So we're at least up to 8,000 in the church by the time we're here in chapter 4 of Acts. So this miracle that was performed by Peter and John in the name of Jesus Christ. Now let's be clear. This miracle was the healing by Jesus. It was faith in the name of Jesus that caused this healing, that caused this miracle. It was not Peter who did it. It was not John who did it. It was done by their faith. They're the ones who proclaimed the message. They're the ones who had the faith to believe that Jesus could do it and would do it. And they believed, and Peter proclaimed this faith to this cripple man. He said, "I don't have any money, but what I do have, I give to you." What did he give to this man? He gave to him faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this was what caused his healing. The power of Jesus is always the healing, my friend. It is not through an individual. It is never through an individual. Now, I hear critics of the so-called faith healers, you know, those that like to criticize and say, well, you know, if they're so mighty and so powerful, why don't they go down to the hospital and empty out the hospital? That is one of the most ridiculous comments that I've heard. It's one that no thought has been given to, my friend. Not even Jesus Christ could go down to the local hospital and empty the local hospital. Not even Jesus. Let me tell you why, my friend. Because there are many there in those beds of hospitals that do not have the faith to believe. And if they do not have the faith to believe, then they cannot receive the healing that is through Jesus Christ. Did you hear what I said? If they do not have the faith to believe, then they cannot receive the healing that is there in Jesus Christ. Now, remember that Jesus in his hometown, something strange happened when he went into his hometown. They knew him to be the son of the carpenter. Many had seen him grow up. Many knew him, of course. And they just looked upon him as one of their own townspeople, as the son of Joseph the carpenter. They did not look at him as Jesus, the Son of God. So the Word tells us in the Gospels that Jesus could do no mighty work because of their unbelief. Now that is the reason I make the statement that Jesus himself could go into any hospital and he would be unable to empty the beds and heal all the people, because all the people do not have faith to believe and to receive. You see, anyone who is healed must have the faith to receive the healing. Anyone who is saved must have the faith to receive the saving, my friend. Jesus said so often as he ministered, "According to your faith, be it unto you." So my friend, if there's anyone that's claiming to heal by their own power, then that's a charlatan. But to anyone who claims and points to the healing of Jesus Christ, Jesus is the healer, my friend. By the stripes that were placed upon his back, the word says, we have our healing. Healing is there to those who have the faith to believe and to receive, my friend. Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. If we have the faith to believe, that's what this man received, the faith to believe. He was given the faith to believe through the Apostle Peter. Peter said, such as I have, I give unto you, rise, get up and walk. And Peter reached out and took him by the hand and pulled him to his feet. And he leapt and he walked and he was praising God. And because of this great miracle, there was a huge crowd that was amazed. They had seen a miracle. They knew that. Now, what was the power that performed this miracle? Peter proclaimed Jesus. The power is in Jesus. The truth is in Jesus. The way is in Jesus, my friend. We need to proclaim Jesus. To proclaim the gospel is to proclaim Jesus Christ. Now, in proclaiming that gospel, we need to proclaim Jesus as the Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, conceived of the Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't have a human father. The Holy Spirit fathered Jesus. Jesus is the only begotten Son of God the Father, born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Spirit. And he lived, went to the cross as the supreme sacrifice, as the Lamb of God. There on the cross, he shed his blood. He gave his life. He laid down his life. Jesus said, my life is not taken from me. I lay it down of my own accord, and I will take it up again, he said. Jesus gave his life, shed his blood on the cross of Calvary to pay for all sin, for all mankind, for all time. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, Jesus died on the cross, paid for all sin, for all mankind, for all time upon the cross. His body was taken down, placed in the tomb. On the third day, by the power of God, he was resurrected from the dead. He ascended to the Father. He's at the right hand of the Father today, yet he lives in you and me as a child of God. He's coming again to receive the church, to catch the church away, to take us home to be with him. He's coming again then to the earth to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus, the Son of God. This is the gospel, my friend. He is the gospel. It's not a belief about him. It's a belief in him. We must receive Jesus, not just information about him. We must receive him. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. We need to proclaim the gospel. We need to know it. We need to proclaim it in its purity, my friend. Salvation is in Jesus, and Jesus alone. There is no other name given among men, as Peter states here in chapter 4, verse 12. He says, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, the Savior of the world. We must believe him. We must receive him. We must have a relationship with him in order to have eternal life, my friend. Now, as a result of this, the religious leaders, the Sanhedrin, the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the priest and the temple guard got all upset. chapter 4, and as they were speaking to the people, that is, Peter and John speaking to the people, the priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in jail until the next day, for it was already evening. So here is the first beginning of persecution of the church from without. Now, what is the response of these men? What is the response of Jesus, of Peter and John and the apostles to this persecution? Well, we see over in verse 19. Well, let's look at verse 17. But in order that it may not spread any further among the people, this is the people of the Sanhedrin and the priest talking, let us warn them, that is the apostles, not to speak any more to any man in the name of Jesus. And when they had summoned them, they brought the disciples in from their prison cell. They summoned them in before them, and they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard. Even in this case of prison, in the threat of their life, they said, look, we cannot obey you. We've got to obey God. We cannot stop speaking about Jesus. We cannot stop proclaiming the good news of the gospel message. So that was the response to the persecution. My friend, what's your response to the pressure of the world to shut up? What's your response to the pressure of the world to be tolerant of everything and anything, of all kinds of sin? We need to stand up and we need to proclaim, as did Peter and John, we cannot stop speaking the gospel message. We cannot obey you. We must obey God. We are the witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will stand and we will proclaim the good news of the gospel. And we will proclaim that there is salvation in no other than the name of Jesus Christ. You must receive Him. You must believe Him. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is salvation in no other name other than the name of Jesus. Oh, my friend, the challenge before us today in the church is to know our message and to stay on message and to proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a dying world that needs to hear. Many are in that burning house, dear friend. You have the opportunity to save them. Many are on their way to an eternal hell. You have the message that will save them. The only message. The message of the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you proclaiming it? Are you being a witness true to Jesus Christ, telling others of the gospel? Or are you standing idly by, watching many, many people marching straight into hell? What about it, dear friend? We have the good word from God, the good news of the gospel. Let us proclaim it boldly. Let us proclaim it without fear. Let us be true to God and not bow to the wishes of men. Let us be true to Him and proclaim the good word of the gospel message. Let us proclaim Jesus, in whom salvation is to be found, and in no one else but Jesus. This is a good word from God's holy word today. I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel.